If you're a dog lover or if you have dogs, have you ever wondered why so many dogs are suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more health issues with dogs than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place where we can look to support any dog's health, and that's their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Now, Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And I actually love giving Mojo this as a topper. I feel good that there are no fillers, and it's also air dried. So that means it retains more nutrients. Mojo's usually pretty picky about what he eats, so I'm glad that he now enjoys every meal. And now you can treat your dogs to healthy, nutritious food. Go to badlandsfood.com/dateable and order right now to get up to 50% off your first regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BADLANDSfood.com/DATEABLE today.
The Dateable Podcast is an insider's look into modern dating that the Huffington Post calls one of the top 10 podcasts about love and sex. On each episode, we'll talk to real daters about everything from sex parties to sex droughts, date fails to diaper fetishes, and first moves to first loves. I'm your host, Yue Xu, former dating coach turned dating sociologist. You'll also hear from my co-host and producer, Julie Krafchik, as we explore this crazy dateable world.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Dateable, a show all about modern dating and much more than that, because we dive into the why of why people do the things they do, why people behave the way they do, and why people think the way they do. We recently wrapped up season 10. What?
Yes, I cannot believe it.
Did you ever think, when we had drinks that one night when we were like, oh, you know what would be a good idea? Let's do a podcast. Did you ever think we would enter into season 11?
You know what's crazy? Because we've been doing a lot of podcasts lately and just PR and news and stuff. And a lot of times it comes up, how did we meet? And we have our story. And it is so crazy to think back to that night when we were just kind of shooting the shit and we're like, let's do a podcast and have all of our friends dial in.
Like, I barely knew what a podcast was at that time.
Oh, I didn't either.
And now we're experts? What? People are asking us for advice?
It was 2016. Podcasts really were not a thing back then, or at least like talk show ones. It was very, you know, scientific, I feel like. They were all like very academic.
Yeah, and investigative. Like crime stories were still really big back then. But now it's everything. Everyone has a podcast. It is true. Everyone and their mom literally has a podcast. And we welcome more because it just shows that this is a growing category. And the more podcasts we have, the better. It's like there's always room for others in this field.
So I looked actually at some recent stats about different podcasts and different categories. And how many podcasts do you think there are in the relationship space, if you were to guess?
In the US?
Yes, in the US.
I'm going to say under 300.
Oh, way more, 2,700.
What?
2,700. And we are actually in the top 2% of relationship podcasts.
Oh my gosh, we're like the Harvard of we're the Harvard of relationship podcasts. That was a very, my mom would be very proud of that.
Oh my God, Brene Brown is like, mom. She's probably the Harvard. We're probably like, I don't know, maybe the Stanford.
Ooh, any Stanford listeners right now? They're so unhappy. But anyway, regardless, we are in the Ivy Leagues of a podcast, just saying, of relationship podcasts. But we also had this really interesting conversation recently, which was like, I don't really consider us a relationship podcast because we're not talking about just relationship stories. And also, on the other hand, we're not just doling out relationship advice or dating advice. I feel like we're kind of investigative in some ways, not to the point of like, let's find out the origins of dick pics, but
you mean the like that Tinder podcast that we won't speak
like
of?
That one podcast that we won't talk about. But we do. I think what makes this so wonderful for me and so rewarding is we are really getting into the why. And I think we've created this new podcast category for ourselves, like social dating
podcast. Like dating culture. I kind of think of it as like culture-ish. Oh, that's good. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. I do see us as a relationship podcast. There's so much more to relationships. Like if you actually look at the podcast in the relationship category, it's not just romantic relationships. It's about relationships with yourself. It's about relationships with others, with friends, with family, like workplace. Like it's not just, you know, romance. And I think a lot of the skills that we teach are how to relate with others, no matter your stage of dating and relationships.
Well, that's a very good point. Because when you think about relationship podcasts, I think about people in relationships doling out relationship advice. And it's not so much that. It's about how you relate to others and how you relate to society. That is also a relationship in itself. And I recently thought about this too, because someone in our Facebook group posted that article about the Asian girl who she refused to date Asian men for so long. And I remember, I mean, I read this article and I've read so many very similar articles. And I think in this time of as we're looking inward to how we relate to ourselves and in light of what's happening with Black Lives Matter and looking at systemic racism also happens in your own race with yourself. And I had this epiphany a few years ago that I was so self-loathing. And that's partly why I didn't date Asian men for so long. Not because of any of the reasons I cited in this terrible blog post I posted like 10 years ago that I took down because I was so ashamed and embarrassed by it. But looking back, and I'm so glad this girl wrote this article too, it was all about how I related to myself. And I was just so self-loathing of my own people. And that relationship I really needed to work on before I entered into an actual healthy relationship.
Well, I think that's why the dating space is so fascinating to many, even to people that are in relationships and have been married for years, is because there's so much self-evolution that happens through dating. I feel like dating is a magnifying glass of everything that's happening in your own life and to yourself. And what you just said, it's just bringing to surface some of your own challenges and your own limiting beliefs and your own thoughts. And there's a lot of psychology there. And of course, like when you're in a relationship, there's kind of like the next stage of how you manage conflict and all of that type of stuff. And how do you like get things to the next level? But I think dating, there's just so much self-growth that happens. And especially when you're dating so many people. And I think this is actually something that's great about serial dating is it really lets you hold that magnifying glass up to yourself in a really quick time period to really see where you need work. Like I know for me, for years, like when I would stress about someone not texting me back or just get all in an angst after like one date with someone, and it's like a step back of being like, okay, what is the underlying thing that's going on in my life that is causing me to put this much pressure and stress on it? Am I unhappy in another way? Do I feel like I'm not good enough? Like what is like the deep-seated challenge that makes you kind of stress about the little things?
Yeah, because I think as we get older, I definitely feel this, is that my mental capacity is limited.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think about where am I spending mental energy on? And if it's on that text, then why is it occupying so much of my mental capacity? Because it's so limited. Like I can only have so much energy to do so much in a day. Why am I dwelling on something that really does not matter in the grand scheme of things? So that's really part of the evolution too. And I think you brought up another great point, which is when you think about relationships, it's also in reference to other people. So you can work on yourself as much as you want, but you also have to work on yourself in relation to other people.
Exactly.
That's how you grow too.
I mean, we've said this before on podcasts like that we've been on. I think there is an element of your own self that you need to get your house in order, because you can't go into a relationship if you're not whole on your own, but it can't be forever. Like no one's perfect. Like you can't spend all this time getting to your perfect state and then expect to like magically find a relationship. It's kind of a hybrid of both. It's you need relationship experience to continue to be in relationships. I think though what's interesting, and I think I've told you this, UA, but there was a period I remember I just got super attached to this guy. And I really barely knew him. I think we went on like 2 dates. I just like thought he was really good on paper. He was like really attractive. He worked in Google as like an engineer. So I just like,
work at Google.
The Silicon Valley dream here. But you know, at the time I was, you know, he had a lot of qualities I was looking for. Mm-hmm. But of course he ghosted me and I was like, devastated. I remember being so upset about it. And then years later at a show we did, do you remember this? We did one of our shows and he was there as a guest.
Yes.
And I literally, like, he recognized me. I didn't even recognize him. And I honestly, to this day, I can't even tell you his name because I forgot his name. Not that I don't, like, I first wouldn't put it out on air, but I also just have no idea what his name is, like, at all. And I always cite this to people, though, as like a prime example that it's like we can't let these people that really are like a blip on our radar in our entire life get to us this much. Like, I think it's worth looking at, like, why are they doing this and bringing that back to yourself. But I know for me, like, when I've been through like major heartbreak, I just do not have the energy anymore for these like one to two date people. I just can't. Mm-hmm. I like can't do it. I'm like, if I barely knew you, I just can't extend the energy of even caring. Of course, you can be disappointed. No one's saying that you can't, but it's putting it all in like relative perspective.
Because in that mindset, you're thinking about winning and losing.
Yes.
When you've been ghosted, you feel like you've lost.
Yep.
And I had this conversation with a friend today who is very good friends with this guy who ghosts on women all the time. And so I was like, great, you know a ghoster. Tell me, get to the bottom of why he does the things he does. And she's like, honestly, he is depressed. And so he would ramp up really fast with women and he would really fall for someone. And then his depression hits and he doesn't know how to communicate that. Mm. So then he chooses to just not communicate at all. So he's on the other side. He's a perpetrator. He's the one that's been ghosting women for years now and he's seen as the bad guy. But he really just does not know how to control his depression at this moment. And unfortunately, it comes at random times in his life and sometimes very inopportune times. With that story, it made me think all those times that you thought someone didn't call you back or ghosted you or seemed like they weren't interested in you, you felt like you lost. You have no idea what they're going through. And instead of being so harsh on yourself and harsh on that person, send them some love. Send them your best. Just through the universe, you know, mental energy, and then move on because you don't know what's happening.
I think a lot of times too, from my experience, I agree with you. It is usually never about you. I mean, maybe it is about you, but for the most part, if it's only been a couple dates, if they actually just aren't interested in you, probably they would say it. A lot of the times it really is about them and what's going on in their lives. I know for me, a couple of the people that have ghosted me, I found out later that they got into relationships shortly after.
Yes.
So what I think was happening is I was probably there around the same time as whoever they're in the relationship with now. They didn't want to close the door on me by saying like, nope, I'm not interested or whatever, because they didn't know what was fully happening in that situation. So in their minds, it's easier just to kind of like ghost and fade out a little and then, you know, have that in the back burner. UA knows one. This is still one of my favorite stories, if I can reveal it. But I had gone on like the best date. I just remember thinking it was, you know, just we had like such a good connection.
You were so attracted.
Oh yeah,
to him.
We talked. We were there for like 3 hours. We talked about just like deep level shit. Like I thought this was like gonna be something. The next day, he texts me. We're chatting away. That night at the date, he asked like when we were gonna go out again. We set a time. So this was we made out. Like this was like happening. This wasn't just, I thought maybe I was, it was one sided. Right. It felt very mutual, I guess.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he was just gone from my Bumble.
Poof.
And then we had a date set up. And I reached out like on that, just that weekend, just being like, how's your weekend going or something. After we'd again talked, nothing. And then the date's rolling around and it's like, nothing. I've reached out a couple times at this point being like, is this still on? So investigative UA gets on there and she's like, I'm going to find him. I'm going to find this guy on Bumble. And I'm like, how are you going to find him in the millions of people? And she did.
I show found him.
You found him in like 20 minutes.
To Catch a Ghost. You know that show To Catch a Predator? Yeah. No, Uega is on a show called To Catch a Ghost because that is my life mission here. I created a fake profile. I swiped through for like hours.
You would send me photos. You're like, is this him? Is this him?
Because kids, I had nothing else better to do. And I was like, I got to find revenge somehow. And I found him. He was, it was like probably two or three hours into swiping, but I found him. We matched and we messaged back and forth, and I could see how many miles he was away from me. So I could see that he was home at the time he messaged me.
So
every day I would give Julie updates. I'm like, now he's closer to me. I think he's close to work or he's at work.
Because I thought something happened to him. Like I legit thought something happened to him. Nope, he was
fine. The man was alive.
He was responding to the fake profile.
Yep. Responding to the fake profile. We had some sort of connection. And then it got to the point where I was like, I'm going to ask him out. If he's not going to ask me out, I did. And he never messaged me back either. And then you found out something.
Yeah, I found out he was in a relationship. But yeah. You thought he was going to be in a relationship. You had a sixth sense on that because you knew your profile would have lured him in normal context. Yeah.
Honey, I everybody out there, if you ever need to catch a ghost.
Be careful what you ask for right here.
I have the perfect profile to catch any ghost out there. She's just ambiguous and just attractive enough to get anybody.
Oh my God. I needed this laugh. I feel like this weekend was like, I was telling you earlier, I feel like this weekend was like a little tough just in general. Yeah. I don't know if other people are feeling that too. Like I don't know. I feel like, especially growing up in Boston, 4th of July was always like a really big holiday because it was really warm. And I remember just going to like all these 4th of July parties all the time. And I think over the years, it hasn't been as big of a holiday for me, but it's usually one that I'll like go to Tahoe with friends or do something. And I just feel like this year it was definitely a combination of many, obviously. I think one, like cases are rising. So I was like a little timid to even do much in general, but also everything was canceled. And then also just the state of our country right now. I'm like, I don't really feel being like, hurrah, America. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to go on too much of a rant there, but just like, it just, you know, it didn't feel the same as normal.
It's so bad right now. And LA, what the fuck are you guys doing in LA? Can someone please in LA answer me? Like, what is happening? Why are your numbers so much worse than the rest of the country? I do not understand what is happening there. I feel like, I agree. This weekend was really rough. So my boyfriend and I went to one of his friend's houses to go in their backyard, which is like, oh my gosh, you have a backyard. It's amazing. But we all stayed 6 feet apart and we were trying to have like a birthday thing. His friend's turning 40, but he couldn't have that many people over. There were just very few of us. And then we were talking about food and there was just absolutely there's no kind of food out there that is shareable and safe. So we all ended up ordering our own food. How weird is that? We brought our own beers and ordered our own food and stayed in our own corners. It was just not festive at all.
I did go to a restaurant this weekend. I did. I went to an outdoor bar and a restaurant. And I feel like because I hadn't gone in so long, like the friends I were with were like, let's just order everything, you know?
Everything. Yeah.
We're like, take ball in. You know? Like take another bottle of wine, bring it around.
Right? And you like tip really well. Yeah, I'm like, you're like, you've been unemployed for so long.
Right. And it's like, we literally haven't gone to a restaurant in 4 months. So it's, yeah, it was fun. It was fun to be back doing stuff like that. But it definitely, yeah, I mean, I'm adjusting to some of that stuff. I think it's just seeing the stuff in the news, like there was this article about this guy that knew he had COVID, yet like went out to Fire Island in New York and was like raging all weekend. I'm like, why? Like, this is what's going to keep it going. So we'll get off the soapbox. But yeah, hopefully other people, I don't know. Like for me, I'm like, hopefully I can just like put this weekend behind and move forward. But yeah, it definitely had a little bit of a sour taste for me, at least.
I had a highlight to my weekend. I texted you about it. I was at Ranch 99, where all the good Asians go for their grocery shopping, with my mask on and like basically my pajamas, thinking nobody would ever recognize me, see me, thank goodness, right? And this lovely woman comes up to me very far away. She's six feet away from me. Don't worry. She's like, excuse me, are you UA from the Dateable podcast? And I'm like, yes, I don't know how you recognize me. And he's like, I recognize your boyfriend first. And then I saw you.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm Linda from Bay Area Date Guide, which is an Instagram account that we follow. And I'm like, you're the person behind Bay Area Date Guide. And we had a bonding moment. It was so great because we were able to just connect and talk about the podcast and also like be in this aisle of all this Chinese sauce that I was trying to figure out what I need to get. It was a beautiful moment. And I was like, you totally made my day. And in fact, she made my weekend. So thank you, Linda.
Oh, you did
that.
Text me. You were very excited. And I do remember her from the show that we did before shit hit the fan in December. So
yes. Yeah. Yes. She's a lovely, lovely woman, and definitely go follow her Instagram, Bay Area Date Guide. The best part was I didn't tell you afterwards because I felt like I had superpowers with my mask on, because sometimes you're like, you know, you have a mask on, you can't really embarrass yourself. So after I had that exchange with her, I come out and I see this guy that looks familiar. Normally I wouldn't say anything, but I felt like I had superpowers. So I went up to him. I was like, Tony? And he's like, nope. Yeah, okay, like, cool. Bye.
Oh, it just made me think that I actually ran into one of the members of our Facebook group that hosted last week at and I was wearing my mask and she came up to me and I'm like, oh, someone recognized me at my mask.
It's a great feeling, yeah. Isn't it?
But yeah, but anyways, I feel like we hit season finale, but we have a lot of really good stuff in store for the off season. We definitely want to keep the momentum going. We have a lot of real new listeners that have come in recently. So welcome everyone that's new. Mm-hmm. And of course, the ones that have been with us from the start, we love you and glad that you're still here. But we're excited to just kind of go through some of the trends and some of the stuff we've been experiencing of how dating is going to change with COVID, and also rerun some of the podcasts that we were on that we talked about this as well. So you can hear from
so
other podcast hosts.
So much fun. But don't get us wrong. We've already started recording for season 11. So a lot in store for you all, but we're also looking for guests.
Yes.
So definitely hit us up on that. But before we get to our episode, I do want to thank our sponsor. I feel like this is our longest running sponsor slash relationship slash like sponsor in terms of sponsoring my feelings. BetterHelp, thank you so much for being our sponsor for this episode. In these unprecedented times, some of us, actually most of us, may be experiencing some challenging feelings. For me, it's been feelings of helplessness. You guys know I have this anxiousness that I've been trying to get rid of. And knowing that working on your mental health is really important right now. So I'm very thankful I've been working with BetterHelp, who've ensured me that I'm not alone in this. BetterHelp offers online counseling with professional, credible, and compassionate therapists in a safe and private environment. With 3,000 U.S. licensed professionals across 50 states, they make it easier than ever to find help. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Now for Dateable listeners only, you get 10% off your first month with the code Dateable. Get started today by going to betterhelp.com/dateable. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Just simply fill out a questionnaire to assess your needs and get matched with a suitable counselor. Again, that's betterhelp.com/dateable and use the code DATEABLE for 10% off your first month.
Love it. I love BetterHelp so much. Just cannot
we
speak.
Love them.
I do. Another thing I love is how many reviews and ratings we've gotten from you all.
Yes.
Like, seriously, it has really helped. Like we were talking about earlier, being in the top 2%. That's what has helped us get there. Like we've seen noticeable differences in the Apple charts because of that. So if you haven't left us a rating yet, it literally takes 2 seconds. Just go into Apple and hit 5 stars. And yeah, hopefully you can do that if you feel like we deserve 5 stars. So thanks again for everyone that has done that.
I was listening to our friend Kat Harris's podcast, The Refined Collective, and in her intro, she says, even Oprah asked for reviews in her podcast, so I can ask for reviews too. So there, I'm going to use the same line. Even Oprah does the same thing.
I felt like annoying about it, and I talked to one of the members in our Facebook group, and she's like, no, everyone does this. Like, don't feel annoying, because I think it is that no one ever thinks to leave a review unless it's something is really bad, right?
Totally, yes.
So it's really just not
Yelp effect.
Yeah, it's not top of mind. So again, I think also people don't really understand how much it really does help podcasts grow, and it helps us. Mm-hmm. I think UA, you've said it really well. Like, it helps us when we reach out to guests and they look at it and they're like, do I want to take an hour of my time, especially the more high profile guests we get? Taking an hour of time is actually asking for quite a lot. So we want to ensure them that, one, we are a reputable podcast, and two, there's people that are like you all that are going to really listen and enjoy their content.
And in addition to reviews, tell a friend. I was talking to my good friend today who's married, and she absolutely loved our last episode,
yay.
By the way. The open letter to shitty husbands. And she shared it with another friend of hers, not to complain about their husbands, but more just to really open up the conversation that it's so uncomfortable for people to have in relationships. So she's been listening with her friends, and it really helps too, because if you have another friend that you think could benefit from our podcast, that's a great talking point for you too. So definitely tell a friend. We love it. Let's get more people into the Dateable family.
And then our last ask is to follow us on Instagram at Dateable Podcast. This is our biggest social channel outside of the Facebook group. And of course, you can find us there too. But we'd love for you. We take a lot of time to put together some nice stories, pull some funny quotes. So we can kind of just give you like that little smile that you need on a daily basis right now. Because I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm trying to get it from wherever I can right now.
All different sides. This last week, we posted a Would You Rather. And the question was, would you rather find out how long you and your partner will last or how long your partner will live for? Mm. And the results came in, and it was overwhelmingly the majority said they'd rather find out how long the relationship will last instead of how long their partner will survive.
Wow.
So they were on the same page as you, Julie.
Got it. So before we go into our episode for today, do you have another Would You Rather for me?
I do have another one.
Okay, let's keep it going.
Yeah, okay, you want, okay.
Let's do it.
I thought of a few more, but I'll ask you this one. This might be interesting. Okay. Would you rather date someone who's had a lot of relationship experience that and comes with a lot of baggage? Or someone who has very limited relationship experience and comes with very limited baggage?
Ooh, this is such a tough one. It actually super real. I feel like this is dating
very
today.
Real.
It's like you either get someone that's been through the ringer, they maybe are divorced, coming back onto the dating scene, or you have
maybe
people.
Maybe have kids.
Yeah, yeah, or have kids, or people that really have just not put dating on the forefront. Like, we focused more on careers and other things. This is tough because I feel like my initial gut would say someone that has had more relationship history. But actually, after listening to the episode we did, Relationships, Are You Sure You Want One? I think I might actually swing the other side, because
really?
Their point was, first of all, no two relationships are the same anyways.
Right.
So it actually probably doesn't matter. It really probably just depends on the person in the reality. And I think what they were saying too is, if you have a blank slate, you can kind of create whatever you want. It's like, if you think about it as, I don't know, I'm doing a lot of painting lately, so I'm thinking about painting. But like, if you have
The layers.
A layer of just shit. I don't know. I made some really bad paintings this weekend also. I realized this is not my strong suit.
Please share. Please share on Instagram.
I'm going to get better, I promise. But I'm looking at one right now and I'm like, this one's going to be hard to fix because it's just, it looks like shit right now. And I'm not saying that everyone with baggage
that
looks like shit.
That is an incentive. Incentive for people to follow us on Instagram just to see how shitty Julie's paintings are.
I'm going to keep painting so I can post the shitty paintings to get Instagram followers. But I was gonna say, like, when you have the clean slate, you can kind of, or the clean canvas, you can kind of just create whatever you want. So again, I personally, actually, I know I have to choose one because that's the game, but I would probably choose I would probably say it doesn't matter either way. And it really just depends on the person. But because you said this first person has a lot of baggage, I would say I would choose the person that maybe has no baggage and just is fresher, greener. Mm. What about you?
I would say the person without relationship experience probably doesn't have relationship baggage, but has other baggage that they would need to deal with, which is why they haven't been in relationships or haven't had that much relationship experience. You all know I love married. I love married. No, that's not.
Oh my God.
I can't believe I almost said that. I love married men, y'all. That's my thing. They have so much baggage. It's amazing.
It's called dated a commitment so many to another married woman. Men. Yes.
I love it when they're unavailable.
This is how rumors get started right now, UA, from your own mouth.
Exactly. I know. Someone takes this soundbite.
Like, I heard it just from UA herself.
It's like just playing on loop. I love married men. I love married men. I love married men.
You're a meme.
I love divorced men. My current boyfriend is divorced. That's not a secret for anyone because I feel like they've been through it all. And I feel like the women before me are fluffers. They're relationship fluffers to prep him for this relationship with me. And I really appreciate that. That's not to say he doesn't come with baggage. He absolutely comes with baggage. And so do I. So to me, I feel like I like someone who's been through it.
Yeah.
It's, they know, they kind of can like pinpoint, oh, I remember going through this issue with my ex, or I remember encountering this challenge with my previous relationship. And then they have hopefully, it has to be someone who's a little evolved right. from their last relationship, hopefully have the tools to address these issues. Not to say people without relationships don't have the tools, it's just they haven't had much practice.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a hard one because I think it's so probably down to the individual.
But, for sure.
But yeah, I think both perspectives.
For the sake of the game.
For the sake of the game, I'm glad that we actually both had differing opinions because, you know, there's no right answer to this one.
You know, I saw my friend Hai Ching and she said, you and Julie actually have pretty different perspectives. And I was like, good. That is a really good thing because for a long time we were worried that we had the same perspective.
Interesting.
But she really felt like we have different perspectives. So that's great.
Did she call out one specifically? I'm curious.
Not specifically, but she's like, you know, just for the virtue of you being in a relationship and you being single, it's already two fresh perspectives. But sometimes the way we look at some of these episodes, like the stories, we offer different perspectives too.
That's good. I think that's long term more important because, you know, relationships change as we've seen over the last 5 years. So
they sure do. But as relationships change, so does dating. And dating has certainly changed during COVID and during quarantine. And we realize we keep getting invited to go on other people's podcasts to talk about dating trends during COVID that we've actually never talked about them on our own podcast.
Right.
So we're going to take this bonus episode to talk about some of the top six dating trends that we're seeing in COVID, especially now we're entering into what I would call phase two.
We might have sprinkled them into episodes, but you're right. We haven't had like one episode dedicated to it where this is where it will come. And hopefully this will help people navigate during this time, because I think there's a lot of challenges, but there's also a lot of good that could come out of it. I think we all can't forget that and have amnesia that dating was not perfect before COVID. So let's use what we got and see how we can create the dating lives we want.
So should I kick it
off? Kick it off.
I'll do. Okay. you've all heard me talk about the sober first kiss. This is something I've been championing for a long time, even before COVID. I really believe that you can gauge chemistry through a sober first kiss. But in this day and age, it's very hard to do so, except for quarantine time. So I talked to a friend today. She's like, I hiked 16 miles last week just to go on dates. I'm like, yeah, girl, because that's all you can do these days.
Right. Even getting there is like a 2-mile walk.
She's like, I'm so tired of hiking, but I gotta keep dating. It's amazing. But it goes into this idea that I think what's coming out of quarantine is that people are going on these more sober dates, hikes and socially distanced picnics, which is great. And so that first kiss has a higher chance of being sober. In fact, I talked to our friend Kethan. He said he had his first sober first kiss with his first quarantine girl that he met during quarantine. So
love it.
He said it was very special for both of them because they had to get consent, of course, and they also had to ask each other those uncomfortable questions. Have you kissed someone else in the last, you know, few months? And have you been tested for COVID? Like, all those things had to come out, but it just made that first kiss really special. So I think it was a very memorable kiss for him.
And even if you're not like dead sober, the odds of being like sloppy drunk are probably a little lower than what you used to be. Because even if you have like a bottle of wine in the park, you're not like at a bar where it's just so accessible. I don't know. I used to be the queen of drunken makeouts. Like, I used to do.
Don't we know it?
I definitely got a little bit of an MO from friends on that one. But I think it will make us more selective of who we kiss by far. Mm. And kissing will have a lot more meaning. I think we've heard of so many dates where it ends in the kiss and then you just never hear from them again. And you're like, wait, didn't we kiss? I mean, I just shared a story earlier, right? So it's like, why isn't it translating? But I think we took it for granted before. And it was just kind of like one of those things you did on a date. And you may not have felt anything for that person, but you're like, why not? But that won't happen anymore.
I mean, unfortunately, for the longest time, we were all the Oprahs of kissing. We were just giving away kisses to anybody. Kiss you get a kiss, you get a kiss. Everybody gets a kiss and then you forget who you kissed. But I remember having a sober first kiss when I was single and realizing how lips felt, because you know, sometimes you just kiss so many people when you're drunk and you like forget to be present in the moment to feel a kiss. I like, when was the last time you felt a kiss? And that was really special to be like, oh my gosh, lips feel like this. And then you have to tilt your head like this. Just be more present.
It's probably a better way to gauge actual chemistry too.
For sure.
And not just, I mean, you've been preaching sober first kiss long before COVID-19.
Ever. I know. And I don't even practice what I preach, but now I will. Well, now not really, but you know, in theory, as I drink my spritz, in theory, I will practice a sober first kiss.
Yeah. No, it's definitely going to change dating and just like what we do on dates. And I feel like just date attire, how you show up, like all of that is going to be different. Like, I remember just wearing these like cute dresses to dates and like, I can't even fathom that right now. So,
oh my God. Yeah. What's a dress?
And we talked about too, it's like, we'll fold this one into this trend, but I think more and more dates are going to start on video and then progress into these socially distanced dates and hopefully have the opportunity for that sober first kiss if all goes as well, right?
Yeah, or a virtual first kiss.
I've totally done the kiss through the phone, you know.
Have you? Through the phone?
Not like making out with the kiss. I'm not like making out with the phone. It's just like the blow the kiss, you know? It's kind of sweet.
I didn't know you were so cheesy. Okay, next. All right.
I guess the next one that I can think of is, you know, we thought that Me Too was going to kill fuckboys, but I think COVID has really destroyed fuckboys.
Let's take a moment for our sponsor, Generation Tux. While during this time, many plans are being postponed, especially the big day for some, we still want to pass along this great offer from Generation Tux. For all you men out there who are planning your special day, Generation Tux takes away the headache of finding you the perfect tux. You simply create your look online, including your groom's party, and everything arrives within 14 days of your big day at your doorstep. With Generation Tux, you can even earn a free suit or a tuxedo rental with 5 paid members. Generation Tux offers free home try-on program for grooms. You can also get free swatches delivered straight to your door. And after the big event, you just put everything back in the box and use a prepaid label to drop off at UPS. So take note of this: free shipping, free swatches, free home try-on. Now you can save time and money with Generation Tux. Check out generationtux.com/dateable and use the promo code dateable for 10% off your entire groom's party. Again, that's generationtux.com/dateable and check out with the code DATEABLE. Now back to this episode.
You know, we thought that Me Too was going to kill fuckboys, but I think COVID has really destroyed fuckboys. Like, it's really hard to be a fuckboy during this time. You can't send that you up text anymore. You can't just hit someone up at, like, midnight when you've been out all day and partying with the boys or whatever. Like, that just doesn't happen anymore. We hear of all these people getting these, like, Zoom serenades and these, like, really romantic gestures. We had someone on our podcast where the guy, like, picked her flowers on his hike and, like, sent the virtual bouquet. It's like, you just can't do the bare minimum anymore. So fuckboys are canceled. Like, fuckboys are done from COVID.
I also learned another thing is that Julie loves saying fuckboys. That's her. She's all about timelines and fuckboys. If you need to take away two things about Julie on this podcast, it's timelines and fuckboys. And if you can put them in the same sentence, you are her soulmate.
There's something edgy just saying fuckboys. I just get a reaction every time. But you're right. I do love a good timeline. And I don't love a good fuckboy, but I love saying fuckboys.
You know, I agree with you. I think the Me Too movement gave fuckboys a concussion, and COVID has made sure that they never wake up from their concussion. Fuckboys are so over. I feel like I've had girlfriends tell me about they roll their eyes at some of these texts now. Like back before COVID, you know, pre-COVID days, they would be looking at these texts asking me for advice. Right. Should I respond back? What should I say? Is he interested? Nowadays, they just show me a text. They're like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, delete, block, no thank you, and next. So, yes.
I think COVID has put a lot in perspective, too, especially when this fuckboy that was hitting you up all the time when you were quarantined was, like, crickets, right?
Right.
It's really transparent when they come back, and it's obvious that they don't really give a fuck how you're doing, and it's just that they want to get laid because they've been quarantined for three months. So it's not that fuckboys don't exist anymore. They certainly do, but I think our BS meters are a little higher, especially if you're someone that's looking for a relationship and not just a hookup. I think before they could kind of merge in a little, and it was sometimes hard to, like, to sever your feelings between, I know this person might be bad, but I'm just going to do it anyways, where now there's also, like, a lot more at stake by going there, especially if you know that they're, like, hooking up with a bunch of people. Who wants to do that?
Right. I think it used to be, it was, like, cool if you could transform a fuckboy. Yeah. You know, that was a goal. They were your project.
It's a dream.
Nowadays, like, you don't even want to deal with a fuckboy. That's the difference. They still exist. It's just people don't want to deal with them. Like,
right. We got better things to do.
Fuckboy.
We got protests to go to.
Yeah.
Economy's collapsing. There's a lot of stuff going up.
Yeah. BCW, have you looked at the numbers? Thanks, fuckboy.
We don't need fuckboys.
No more fuckboys. Thank you. Next. And then another trend we've been seeing is this one applies to me so much, is couples are either sinking or they're swimming. And full disclosure, this has been a really tough time for my relationship. Not in terms of, oh my gosh, it's, like, really on the rocks, but we've had so many really hard conversations. And I'm so glad we are having these conversations. But I can totally see that if two people currently in a relationship during COVID if one person was not down to have these conversations or to fight for the relationship, then it'd be over. I think I'm getting texts, like, on at least a weekly basis of someone who's saying something about getting a divorce or leaving their boyfriend or husband or wife or whatever. I'm getting these messages and I'm trying to talk them off the ledge, but at the same time, two people have to be in it to fight it. And if two people aren't both in it, then you got to just let it go. And unfortunately, that we are seeing that happening. There was this misconception that quarantine was going to yield a bunch of quarantine babies. That's actually not true. They're seeing that there's actually less pregnancies through quarantine because I think couples are so stressed right now, and they're more concerned about working through their relationships than, you know, creating children. So that's good. That's a good thing. I think that we're being responsible. But for couples, we totally get it. A lot of my friends have told me this has been a really tough time. I'm in the same boat as you. But keep fighting and make sure that as long as both people are willing to fight for the relationship, you are on the right path.
I think also before it was so easy to distract yourself and to sweep the issues under the rug. Like you're like, oh, let's go out and get drinks or do dinner. And we don't need to sit and talk about the hard stuff. And I think it's forced people to have those conversations. And like you said, for better or for worse. And while it's unfortunate if things end, is it actually better in the scheme of things than having it drag on for more years if it really, like you just can't communicate and you can't have those difficult conversations?
Yes. I always think about the story I told you about my friend who had to decide if he was going to go into quarantine with his girlfriend. And that was his waking moment of saying, I don't want to spend every day with this person. Imagine if quarantine didn't happen and they just kept going with a relationship for another year or two.
Oh, totally.
That is terrible. So I'm glad that this situation, as unfortunate as it is forcing couples to face the music in many ways. And it's just getting more real by the day.
Yeah, I think another trend that kind of plays into that in a different way is this trend of resurrection of the ex. I know this has happened to me a lot over quarantine, and it's happened to other people. I've shared this on the podcast, but I've used a lot of quarantine to figure out a past relationship of mine, which actually I think was kind of similar to what you were just saying. Like it did force us to have the conversations and really slow down. And especially because initially we weren't quarantining together. We were just doing a lot of phone calls and just video and, you know, and I think taking the physical out was actually really good for us. It was able to bring up a lot of these hard conversations that we needed to happen or we needed to have. And I think also, though, I'm not the only person that has had an ex come back. And as ironic, too, is as soon as this ex and I decided that we weren't going to pursue a relationship, my other ex hit me up.
Yes.
To just, you know, catch up, do a video call. We did do a video call this week and it was nice to catch up. I wouldn't say that we're like pursuing anything, but it was nice to just catch up. And I think that's where I'm going with this. It doesn't necessarily need to be the ex becomes like a full-blown relationship like my first one was. I think people are just lonely right now. And it's hard to necessarily pick up new people. Like while people are definitely dating and meeting new people right now, it's not for everyone. And I get it. Like when I was talking to my second ex on Monday, he was like, literally my worst nightmare is doing a video date with someone I don't know.
Yeah.
I get it. I get it. And it's not for everyone. And I think there's something reassuring by talking to someone from your past. And that's why people have seen them come up. And we've heard stories too, where it's been great in the sense like my situation where it reopened a relationship, but then we've heard other stories where it's been a bit toxic and the patterns came back really fast. And it wasn't like, we're going to try at this. It was like, oh, I'm now being used by this person again. So it's one of those things that you can't be blindsided by COVID. Like when I was looking at my whole situation, I remember my brother gave me really good advice and was like, try to separate your ex from COVID. Like, would you still want to pursue this if COVID wasn't happening right now versus like you're just lonely? So, yeah.
And that same advice from your brother also applies to just false intimacy in general. And it doesn't have to be an ex, but could just be someone that you feel like you're really connecting with. And sometimes it's hard to separate loneliness from a connection. And we're seeing that a lot of that with our listeners too. It's you come out of quarantine and then you meet up with someone, you have high hopes, and then for some reason there's no attraction or there's no chemistry. And it's just one big pile of disappointment when you get to meet them in person, but also kind of expect that that could happen.
Yeah.
Because our feelings are so heightened during this time. So your sense of intimacy is also very much heightened. So it's easier said than done, right? Because you can be like, separate the logical side of you from the emotional side of you. Well, it doesn't really work like that. You can't just like divvy them up, but at least recognize that that is a possibility.
Right. And we've said too, it's hard right now because some people just aren't working right now. They have a lot of free time. And then also, even if you are working, you're probably not seeing friends at the same level that you once were, and you don't have your like exercise classes and your routine. So it just brings a lot more time. And that can be great. It can help relationships get off the ground, but it also, again, to this false intimacy, like you could potentially spend 8 hours talking to someone on the phone and they may never talk to you again. And it's because they just had 8 hours to do nothing, and this was better than watching right. Netflix. So it's really right. hard to figure that out. So our advice has been to try to maintain your life as much as possible and bring new people in, like the capacity you would have done before. Maybe be a little more open than before, just because we are given this gift. But don't be so open that, you know, this new person just like totally takes over your entire life.
Absolutely. That applies to even after quarantine.
Yes.
Like, don't let someone consume your whole life. And we should just stop creating these stories about people before you meet them. Like, we have these ideas and images right. of what this person will be like. Even through video, you don't get the full image. So keep an open mind still. It's still a blank slate. It could still be a shitty painting, but you never know.
Gotta go back to my shitty paintings.
You got to just layer on the paint, layer it on. Another trend that we've been seeing is, and I think this is a lovely trend, is that there are now no more taboo topics to talk about with virtual dating, because everyone's trying to connect. And because all the physical distractions are removed, the bartender, the drinks, the atmosphere, that's all removed from a date. All you have is each other. People are having deeper and more thoughtful conversations. And now nothing is off the table. Let's talk about everything. And especially, and I love this, with Black Lives Matter, people are now putting that at the forefront of their conversations. Yeah. Is this something you believe in? Do you believe in systemic racism? If you don't, like, let's move on. Let's
swipe
even,
left. I feel like it's in profiles.
Absolutely. So it's great that people are having these what would have been taboo topics back in the day. Remember those etiquette teachers that were like, yeah. Don't talk about politics, religion, sex. Just don't talk about it. Now it's like, let's talk about that first. So that is wonderful. This is a great way for, I think everyone's feeling themselves out on how they can connect with other people and how they can build a deeper connection. What we're hearing more and more is that, I hear this all the time, quote, "We had a really deep conversation last night. We got so deep that I was telling him things that I haven't even told my best friend."
Wow.
Like, I keep hearing stuff like that. And that's fantastic. People are definitely diving in and they're accelerating these conversations. But be careful of false intimacy. Just because you revealed that secret you've never told your best friend does not mean that this is your one and only soulmate.
Oh, it's such a tough line to balance, because I totally get it. My take is, it's better to put out more and just have it not work out than know that you didn't try enough. So as long as you're keeping that in mind. But I think this whole thing about politics, especially right now, one, how can yes. you not talk about it? It's so just in the forefront, especially even COVID is all back to politics and
yeah,
Black Lives.
Don't be tone deaf.
Yeah. And like Black Lives Matter right now, what a good way to see people's values and like what they mm-hmm. stand for. And if they're trying to get better and like how like self-growth, like you could see so much from someone from just how mm-hmm. they relate to all that's happening. And I think like finding someone that has similar values, that can be really hard on dating apps when you don't get enough time to meet them. Yes. And this helps fast track that. Like, you can find out pretty quickly, like, especially, I think even like your propensity to wear a mask says so much about your values.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah, no, I think it's a good thing. We've been talking about it for a while, of how, you know, people talk about sex and exes and politics and religion on dates. And now it's just, you know, it's amplified.
You can only do Dater-View for so long, right?
The Dater-Views don't work.
I think the Dater-Views have gone away like fuckboys. I think fuckboys yeah. and Dater-Views can shoo themselves away, because they just don't serve anything anymore. After you've had one Dater-View over Zoom, you're like, I might as well just go on a job interview. This is not serving me.
I can't even imagine doing a Dater-View right now. Like, I feel like I'm so drained from video calls. To get on a call that feels like a work call would be like, you know, just terrible.
Yeah. Please don't.
So then our last trend that we're seeing is, I think this is the time where people are really going to figure out what matters to them. It's been a time of self-love. I think that's been clear, like especially if you've been quarantined alone, you've had a lot of time with yourself. And even if you haven't been quarantined alone, like with a partner, you've kind of been able to hash some of that stuff out of what a relationship means to you and your partner. And if you live with roommates, you've probably had your own time for self-reflection too. And I think a lot of people have come out of this really clear about what they want. One of our most popular episodes episodes this season was relationship. Are you sure you want one? And I think a lot of people are questioning it. I think there's two sides to the coin here. I think on one side, this COVID has shown us that life is short and relationships really are what matters in life. Like at the end of the day, you know, doing that one last work project is really not going to probably make or break your life versus having that person that just loves you through thick and thin. So I think that piece has shown a lot of light with COVID. But then on the flip side is we hear of all these people that are really struggling right now, either in relationships or with children, balancing that with work. And there's something nice about being like, you know, I can support myself. I'm happy with myself. And maybe I don't want a relationship. And I don't think either one is right or wrong. But I do think this time is giving people a lot of clarity into what their priorities are. And what your priority is now doesn't mean it has to be that in a year or 6 months or whatever. But it's giving a lot of just, I think before people were just very confused because of all the paths they could take, where now there's a bit more direction.
Yes, absolutely. And it's a great time to think about it. You're like asking yourself all the questions that you've asked yourself in passing, but you never spent the time to actually stop and answer yourself. So this question of, do I actually want a relationship? Am I ready for a relationship? What kind of relationship do I ideally want to have? Those are all questions that you should be asking yourself. And it's also a good time to shush out society and what society is telling you to do. I think for so long, like I think especially in San Francisco, there was kind of a lot of pressure to be on this train of unconventional, non-traditional relationships. So everyone's kind of trying it out and seeing if it was for them. We actually had talked to someone who was on that train and then went back to traditional relationships because she's like, I realize I just don't want to be pressured into doing something non-traditional. And this is a great time to think, aside from what everybody else is doing, what the trends are, what do I ultimately want? Whether it's traditional or untraditional, it's for me. And it doesn't have to have a label on it at all.
Absolutely. And I think for anyone that hasn't listened to one of our last episodes with Minji, I Date Me First. Oh, that one, so I think, was one of my favorite episodes of all time.
So good.
Because, I mean, one, I just related so hard because I've been there before, like outside of quarantine, of just going through that like brutal breakup that really makes you confront yourself and really get to the root of what, like taking ownership for your own actions and not just blaming the other person, but also taking that time to figure out what is it that you really want. And I think it's also relatable to anyone, even if they're not going through a breakup, but just has been alone with themselves for the first time. Like I know for myself, I did this like alone work a long time ago because I was in that situation and it was really brutal. And it actually really prepared me for now because I don't think it was as big of a jolt if I hadn't done it. So I know for me, like it was super helpful to journal and to really get it out of like, what is it that I want? Like, what is important? We had a past guest, Amy Spencer from Finding Your Half Orange, and her book, I highly recommend. I would literally take her book and bring it to it was a spa back in the day when you can go to spas, but now you can bring it to parks.
What's that?
Oh, I miss spas so much.
I miss spas.
What do you miss the most? Spas. But you could bring it to a park. And I remember there was just like a lot of visualization exercises of what is, you know, a perfect day for you with a partner. Like, what does that look like? Or maybe it ends up being that you don't see a partner in that picture and it's really about yourself. And I think just doing that work is so important to have like a North Star of where you want to be going.
And this doesn't just apply to single people. I think people in relationships can learn from this too. Even if you are living with someone, in a relationship with someone, married to someone, you still have to date yourself. You can't be reliant on your partner 24/7. I've learned from Minji's episode, I started putting on perfume and lipstick because I was like, I'm dating myself. I'm doing this for myself. You know, I want to look and feel normal for myself. And I really love that piece of advice that she gave. Just sometimes you get lost even in the day-to-day that you forget to just like sit down and check in and say, how are you doing today? Huh? How are you? Let's talk about how your day has been going. So I really love that piece of advice, but also part of the trend of quarantine.
Absolutely. Cool.
Is that it? Those are our top six. We have more, but those are our top six. We actually combined a few of them too. These are the six that we've been talking about. We also have some killer predictions for the future of how dating will forever change, but we'll get to that on another episode. I want to say, like, my closing remark on this, just talking about trends, is everyone's going to come out of quarantine feeling like a different person, mm-hmm. like a 2.0, look at me. But historically, you'll see that societal trends are, people always fall back to the status quo. I mean, things are going to go back to the same with the swiping and how people used to date. What I would challenge everyone is to just hang on to that 1% change, just 1% of something. Except the fact that whatever you're feeling right now, it probably won't stay this way forever, but at least there's one thing that you can change and that can stick in your love life, and let that stick. Just one thing. Just choose that one thing.
I love that. That was so well said. And I'm just going to leave it at that. Mic drop.
One thing. Let it be.
Agree. Think, let's not take on too much. Like quarantine, when it first started, all the hobbies we wanted to do. Yeah, right. Just take on one. Mine is bad painting.
One Spanish phrase instead of learning the entire language is good enough. No, but just what, like, you know, incremental change. That's all we need to really work on. That's it.
Love it.
Fabulous. That's it for this bonus episode. We'll have way more. So actually, we never stop. We call this off season, but it's actually just it's like 10.5 or whatever. Yeah. 10.5 season.
And we have a really good one with Natasha Chandel from Kinda yes. Dating that we're going to air next week. So definitely check that out and stay with us on the off season. We're going to have a lot of really good content.
And if you would like to be a guest on season 11 or know someone who'd be a really good guest, please reach out to us. Our email's super easy. It's just hello@datablepodcast.com. Yeah. Hello. Hello there. Hello.
And you can also submit at datablepodcast.com/story. And if you don't have like a story per se, but you have a topic that you either want to speak to or you just are dying to hear someone else talk about, feel free to drop that either in the email or in the form on the website too.
Fabulous. Well, everyone, please wear a mask. Stay safe. I'll say this again. Wear a fucking mask and stay safe, please, for the sake of everyone, so we can get out of this sooner, okay? Let's understand that.
You know, I feel like at the beginning of this, we did the like, stay safe, stay dateable, stay safe, 6 feet apart, but I feel like now we might have to do it again.
Yeah, stay the fuck away from people. That's all I have to say. But we're gonna wrap this up
on a positive note. We'll say stay dateable this time.
We'll say stay dateable, but you know what I'm really saying. Here we go.
Stay dateable.
6 feet apart, put on your mask, fuckers.
The Dateable Podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
Want to continue the conversation? First, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle @DateablePodcast. Tag us in any post with the hashtag #StayDateable, and trust us, we look at all those posts. Then head over to our website, datablepodcast.com. There you'll find all the episodes, as well as articles, videos, and our coaching service with vetted industry experts. You can also find our premium Why series, where we dissect, analyze, and offer solutions to some of the most common dating conundrums. We're also downloadable for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Overcast, Stitcher Radio, and other podcast platforms. Your feedback is valuable to us, so don't forget to leave us a review. And most importantly, remember to stay dateable.